Good morning, David Domke. First things for a Thursday, December 17th.
We're going to start with the dispatch from Georgia. We are going to keep our eyes on Georgia all the way through the election on January 5th. We're going to periodically check in on the presidential election, but the presidential election is done.
It's over.
As far as I'm concerned. It's over. Exactly. To quote the great Don Lemon.
Yep.
But the dispatch from Georgia today is the playbook against Reverend Raphael Warnock that the Republicans have been running is the playbook that we have seen run against Black Americans, particularly Black men in American politics since the 1950s when these individuals began to become actual candidates and run for office. And it's a fusion of religion and race, claims about radicalism, about religion and race. It was delivered against every notable African-American political leader that we've ever seen, including Barack Obama. So I want to start with a clip from MSNBC. I believe it was yesterday, might have been the day before, where Jason Johnson is doing an interview with Princeton professor Eddie Glaudet Jr.
Eddie, you know, I have a slight memory of history books that I read in college of another prominent pastor from Ebenezer Baptist Church who preached a lot of progressive things, but he got really dangerous when he started talking about the war and he started talking about soldiers. Is there a possibility that what Reverend Warnock has said, this attack that Loeffler has against him right now, could actually end up backfiring and make him more popular from a moral and even a political standpoint with people in that state?
I pray that's true. Look, when Dr. King published Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community, the nation's answer the next year was to murder him. We need to be very clear about that. And so, but I think it's really important here that Reverend Warnock not, how can I put this, capitulate to the move that is being made by Loeffler and others. What happened in 2008, going back to the opening question, is that Obama had to adjust and then respond and then isolate and distance. There's no reason for Reverend Warnock to do that. In fact, he needs to go on the offensive here, to defend his conception of the gospel, to understand and to put forward a view of what it means to be a progressive Christian in this moment. Not to mute or quiet himself, but to embrace his ministry, to embrace his understanding of Christianity and push forward. We need not allow these folk to define the terms of our witness in this moment. So, yes, to answer your question directly, Jason, it could be very well a reason to motivate Black voters and other Christian voters to turn out and vote and send Kelly Loeffler back home.
That's a profound, profound answer all the way through what he says. And it just gets you thinking about all the people who have had to deal with this.
You know, I want to, in a minute here, take up the reality of whether such an approach by Reverend Warnock would be productive politically for him. I'll take that up in a second, but I want to first start with whether such an approach by Reverend Warnock would be the right ethical thing to do. And it clearly is. And I want him so much so to become more vocal and determined about his faith publicly and to articulated, and I believe he is. It's not that he's shy about it, but to actually hammer it home as a person who's attempting to bring the social gospel into the public arena. I believe that we in America need a lean in progressive voice of faith that is rooted in the Black church. Because that's where the strength and authority of it resides. And then in combination with a Reformed Jewish tradition voice as well, we need those pieces strongly. They were there with definitiveness in the 1960s, and they helped to move our country forward. And so I agree with Glaudet that ethically, morally, that there is a need for this, and it's happening. It is happening in this race. So Kelly Loeffler, who is the incumbent that Raphael Warnock is running against, has nonstop. She is relentless in characterizing Raphael Warnock as a radical liberal socialist Marxist whose faith is, you know, dangerous and has been critical of America. And this is the same language we've heard so long about Black Americans who are supposedly outside of the America that these white defenders of America believe is the right America. But yesterday, a group of national organizations, many of them with Georgia ties, issued statements in support of Warnock and called out Loeffler's attacks, and called for a marshaling of support for the traditions that he was emphasizing, for nonviolence, for righteous anger, for a pursuit of the dignity of all humans. And I believe that this election, and with Warnock running as this Black American pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. pastored and where his father pastored, and side by side with John Ossoff, this Jewish American man, is symbolic and is catalyzing for this country in a very significant way. And so whether Warnock wins or not, ethically, I hope that he will fight doggedly and determinedly to not allow Loeffler to just go unchallenged.
It's very stark. It's a very stark contrast. And it's also so typical. I was thinking of some reading that we were doing about Adam Clayton Powell Jr.
Yeah.
And about the way, as Claude says, the way Dr. King was responded to. And, you know, you just can, it's just in the air in this country. And as Claude says, you know, we have to state that clearly, that because it's not some random idea that sort of some people pick up and other people pick up. No, it is very much part and parcel of how this country defines itself. And so in opposition to that, the idea that Warnock stands up is just ennobling, right? It's just a powerful statement, as he is doing. Right, he stands up and he says no. You would think that the faithful across the spectrum would not let themselves be frightened by that any more than the faithful across the spectrum over the years should not have allowed themselves to be frightened by it. Right.
Well, I think this.
I
think this is where race and religion intersect so strongly. And I've done a long body of research on racial identities in America, and have written two books about religious identities. And the religious dimensions of Warnock's life they intersect for him to create an attack opportunity for white conservative politicians in ways in which his faith would be a benefit to him if he was a white conservative politician. But it's used against him because of his Blackness. And it wasn't Barack Obama as the target because of his ministry, but it was Barack Obama because of his connection to a church where Reverend Jeremiah Wright, said similar things to Glaude, to what Warnock says, which you hear in the prophetic Black tradition everywhere in Black churches in America, because this stuff is true. Okay. This stuff is true about the racism in this country. And it was used against Obama. And as Glaude notes, Obama's response was to withdraw, to pull back, to compartmentalize. And I love Barack Obama and think the world of him, but what we need is another approach now on this intersection of race and religion. And I think Kamala Harris has fought a similar battle, but really more on an Obama kind of footing. She's a national politician. In this case, Warnock is a minister first and foremost. And so it's coming at him even more viscerally and strongly. I want to seize this. So on this point, ethically, I want to create the other image as opposed to the withdrawal response of Obama. I want to create the offensive, as Claude notes, perspective. We will embrace the prophetic truths about who America is and what we can be. And so I want that so badly. And I just appreciate that Warnock is doing this. Like he is not backing down. He could probably be stronger, but he is not backing down around his faith, because and it's so important because he represents people, and he also is the tip of the spear for where we can go.
Obama was running at a national level. Obama was a candidate, the first candidate. Now we're a decade and 2 years later. Are we at a different moment?
That's a great point, Steve, that the first, whoever's the first, always has to modulate to placate white America. Jackie Robinson, Shirley Chisholm, Barack Obama. The reality is that they always have to do that. And we have to springboard from where they are to a stronger, more authentic critique and analysis of our country. Man, what it would mean to get Warnock's faith-infused civic approach into the U.S. Senate. Dang, that would be so great. In fact, we've never had it.
Yeah.
We've never had it.
Yeah, it would be
we've profound. Never had him. We've only had, I believe, five, maybe six African-American senators in U.S. history. We've never had a Black Democratic Southern senator in U.S. history. And we've never had a Black minister U.S. senator. Man, that would be incredible. So ethically, I want it. I want everything about it. And I respect the courage and the strength of Warnock to run as the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. Wow, what a carrying forward of the work of the civil rights movement and all that Dr. King stood for. Then you move to the political dimension of this. What does it mean for Reverend Raphael Warnock as a Black man running for the Senate in Georgia to go forward with a voice in which he embraces the Black prophetic tradition as a minister and links himself to the history of the civil rights movement, the history of fighting for racial justice? I think that what's amazing about this moment in Georgia is that he's still got a chance politically if he does that. He's still got a chance. There's just, I don't think we ever would have said that about a candidate in Georgia, to say that they could embrace their Blackness, their Black tradition of critique of American life, and still be a viable candidate, to be somebody who could win. That says so much about where Georgia's at politically and about progress that we've made. Miles to go, but it is real, it is possible that he could win on that. And that's a calculus that Barack Obama said, he looked at it very carefully and said, can't win that way. So he had to distance himself from Jeremiah Wright, which he did in a famous speech from Philadelphia in 2008. Distance himself from Wright. This is Warnock himself. He can't distance himself from himself. He can't. So you would think historically the evidence would suggest that that's the end of him politically, but it's not. He's got a chance. And this is where we have to stand in the strongest of ways with him in this moment to respect that courage, that determination, and to say that politically we are with you, like these ministers who came out yesterday and announced their stand with him. So politically, he's got a chance. And that's where we can bend the arc of the moral universe, where we come in.
This is where the power of the Black Lives Matter movement shows itself. People who have stood up and continue to stand up and speak that truth. It's affected everybody.
And you have people in the state of Georgia and from around the country of varying racial stripes who are saying, I'm standing with you. I'm in. And whether we win or not in Georgia, we need to do that politically. We need to do it in order to advance this work. We have a holiday for Martin Luther King Jr. today in our country. And we have our first female, Black female, Southeast Asian female vice president. But the folks who got us here, the cost was enormous. The work was vast. It didn't just happen. People put their lives and careers and reputations and jobs and family lives on the line. All right, it's our moment. It's our time. We've got time, we got treasure. We got to give it. We got to stand together.